What's going on, guys? My name is Tucker Bierman, owner and operator of Refined Talent Design. Here on the Refining Exchange podcast, we're going to discuss some of the pillars of leadership and how that impacts and plays a part in your faith, family, business, and your personal life. So let's get into it. What's going on, guys? Here with Jerry Bierman, back for another episode of the Refining Exchange, the leadership series, defining leadership series. So this episode, we're talking about resiliency, which I think fires both of us up. So excited to talk and chat about that a little bit. Just get us started right off the bat talking about resiliency and what it means to you.
Yeah, I mean, just obviously just a simple definition is bouncing back, like having the somebody that's resilient. Again, talking to all our friends that lead and own businesses, most of our networks here in Wilmington and Greater Cincinnati, Dayton area is, the residential trades. And what's certain, today's Friday, March the 15th, when we make this tape, this recording, it's like we know about you, your business, my business, like we've had to be resilient today. And Monday, we're going to need to be resilient again. I mean, it's just in our business, you have to be able to bounce back from challenges. So
yeah. That's good. Yeah. No, there's no point to try to avoid challenges because they will certainly find you. Because it's recent and I was thinking about it on my drive home last night, I made a mistake yesterday with a client experience and I was thinking about it and I was like, as I get a little bit more experience, a little bit older, I realize like mistakes are going to happen and trying to avoid them and control them is an impossible task. But I wrote down one of my first notes I wrote down on resiliency was the ability to accept failures and learn from them. Like that defines resiliency. I think, resiliency for some people may just be like your thick skin, you can take it on the chin kind of thing. I wrote down, you can learn from it. And so I was thinking about that on the drive home as I made this kind of like customer service type mistake. I just said something that I wish I didn't say to a client and it kind of set them off, which I understood and had to apologize for. But I thought about that and I was like, resiliency there is obviously taking that on the chin, not getting too deflated and then learning from it and trying to make sure that I don't make that mistake again. So resiliency right off the bat, like if I can learn from those mistakes and get better, that's, that's a true sign of growth.
Yeah. And you said the word accept, and I think that's for a leader. I think that's one of the words that really we struggle with, right? Is accepting it. And so, we're dealing with humans. And so everything's like, there's so much of it. This, Tucker's a paradox, right? It's just for some of the people that are like super legalistic, black and white. If you're a black and white person, you struggle with even a lot of these words because like on one hand, you work with people and people are going to make mistakes. And on the other hand, you want to be as excellent, as perfect, whatever that means, right? As possible. Like, so whatever the customer experience looks like, whatever the craft is, you want to do that with excellence, but you're still working with people. And so it is the paradox for leaders is you accept the mistake as a learning opportunity, but you don't accept inferior products and services, right? So what ends up happening is when we're doing that for a project today is we're redoing the project. Mm-hmm. Right? We're redoing an element to the project because we didn't accept the craftsmanship of it. But you do as a leader, you don't have to. I choose to accept working with humans that make mistakes if I believe they're coachable. And to your point, I heard you say a second ago, is I learned from my mistake and it's because of the learning, it's less likely that I'm going to repeat that same mistake very often, right? You will, but if you learn from it, it's less often. So when you look at resilience, there's so many ingredients to this that we have to navigate. And I think, as you get older, so I'm 57, one of the things that I think is really healthy for your listeners to consider, we talked about journaling. I think the last talk that we were on, Tucker, we were talking about, I think one of them was gratitude, and having like a gratitude journal. And so I think it's a very healthy exercise for you. And I just got off the phone with a guy a minute ago. Literally, he's been in business for a year, and you know, with a year under his belt, as I was encouraging him, trying to coach him a little bit, is, you know, take inventory of your life, like use your journal and take inventory of times that you did bounce back. Like, so Alex has been in business for a year, but Alex, do you have, besides this year, can you document, make a list of times that you've actually bounced back from adversity? Because I think part of it is like reminding yourself that, yeah, you know, I actually have bounced back, and I have the ability to bounce back. Sometimes when issues happen, sometimes they're debilitating, right? You said to me, I don't know when you and I were talking last, but you said to me, one of the things that you said is that when I get punched in the face, I don't flinch, right? Mm-hmm. So when somebody says something to me, not physically, but like when somebody says something or attacks me or is coming at me, and they can say like just really difficult things to hear, and I don't flinch. Well, why don't I flinch? Well, because I've got a history of being resilient and overcoming challenges, right? So it doesn't faze me, because I have a history of, at 57 years, I've overcome a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Well, and that's funny that you say that too, because I put a little post out this week, and it's a paraphrase of Alex Hormozi's, one of the labels that he uses for himself, but it's like, true confidence comes from your track record, or true confidence comes from looking in the mirror. And when you talk about resiliency, the more you go through these things, the more resilient you become, because you realize, you know, you're learning, you're growing, you realize it's probably not as bad as, you know, you initially think it is. I was just talking to one of our leaders about that today, as we were talking about, you know, how maybe some of our competition reacts to us in our industry. You know, very young Tucker in business would worry about that, and would, we, you know, I'd be concerned about how our competition would react, and things that they could do to take some, you know, maybe take some leeway on us from a market share kind of standpoint. But as I get older, as I get a little bit more experienced, as I get a little bit more resilient, it affects me less and less, because my confidence in my track record, my confidence in my resiliency is growing. And so I think about that from a leadership standpoint with our team, right? So this is, we're talking about as leaders, how we become resilient. And then I'm thinking about our team and how to, you know, help coach them and grow them into being more resilient. And I don't know the exact phrase, but you know, just fail fast kind of thing, fail fast. Like, coaching our people, it's like, it is okay to make mistakes. Obviously, we're trying to clean those mistakes up and continue to get better, but I want our team to take initiative, fail fast, right? To make decisions. And it's okay if they make mistakes, and let's learn from those mistakes and get better. Try not to make them two or three times, but fail fast, fail forward. I've heard that phrase being used before too, fail forward. So, you know, empowering them, coaching them, I think is a big piece to that too. And then the other piece to what I heard you say, and I actually have notes on this too, is having your tribe. You know, having your tribe is huge. Obviously, you know, pick a really good spouse, be blessed with a really good spouse is important. But kind of, you know, having those friends as well, and or a culture within your company that can help pick you up and encourage you also, can end up playing a really positive part in building your resiliency also.
Yeah. Yeah. When you said that, like, one of our core values is Foxhole Tribe.
Yeah. And so I love that.
When we hire people, and we actually do it every Friday, we have affirmations, as you know, one of the best things that we do as a company. We do affirmations on Friday, and guys have a chance to give affirmations to, you know, each other. And one of them that comes up is Foxhole Tribe, you know, people that are in the foxhole with you. You just said, again, accepting it's okay to make mistakes. I had this conversation with your brother at lunch today. And, you know, one of the mistakes that we're talking about today is they lacked critical thinking, right? So they, you know, a lot of times in business, one of the reasons that you do things well is because you haven't always done things well, right? And yeah. So you have been resilient, and the resiliency is where you actually learn, right? So it's like, you don't do whatever happened that was really painful that you wrote a check for or left a mark. That lesson is so, it left such a strong impression on you that as you're resilient and bouncing back, you're less likely to, right? You learn from that mistake. The other thing, another thing that you said, just a little sidebar, is you said, you know, that when you were younger in business, I think that the reality is that we're in process and, you know, depending on how long you're going to be at biz. So I'm 57, almost 58, 57, and I'm working on my 48-year plan. And so I still, but with that context though, I still feel young in business, right? So I got 48 more years is what my plan is, right? And so I'm young in business, right? It's all relative to whatever that race is. And then another thing that, and I made notes on this too, is like for your listeners and myself, is like, is there something, so I've been at this, you know, a long time, not just Alluring Glass, that company, but just leadership, you know, is there an example of something that you still need to bounce back from? So when you take inventory to also assess, man, is there anything lingering? Is there anything that's not done that I still need to bounce back from? It's still just, you know, I've really not dealt with it yet. I remember my friend Dave King passed away. My buddy, who was the Barry Long, as you know, I worked for him actually, did the eulogy, and he, before the service, he and I talked, and he's like, you know, how are you doing? And I said, pretty good, you know, right now, but I really haven't dealt with it yet. You know, he died suddenly, and he said, you need to give yourself permission to cry, to mourn. And I remember him saying that and being like, you know, I wasn't at that season, I wasn't ready to mourn. Right. And so you take something like that and say, well, at some point you do have to mourn. Right. And so if you have the ability to control that, right, and be like, all right, there's going to be a season or a time that I actually need to mourn the loss. Because if you don't mourn the loss, you know, the specific question was, is there something in your life that you still need to bounce back from, you know, that you've not dealt with? I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, that's good. When you mentioned too that there's some ingredients that kind of go with building resiliency. Do you want to go ahead and go through those?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and there's a lot of crossover here. Like, so if you listen to previous, you know, podcast, you know, my observation is a lot of these things, a lot of these ingredients overlap. So as you come across leaders that are like, man, they're just, when you think of a solid, experienced leader, a lot of what happens is you're building your tool belt of leadership. You as you start to deal with certain aspects of your leadership, there's a ripple effect of benefits, right? So one of the ingredients is just your mindset, that your mental capacity, right? As you and I have talked a lot about, you know, we're studying a lot of, you know, a lot of Goggins stuff, which is crazy, right? He's crazy. But a lot of that mindset of like, you know, how can I make my mind stronger? And so obviously for a resiliency standpoint, that, you know, mindset is really important. And then, you know, something that you and I believe is, you know, physically, like, you know, the ability to bounce back. One of the ingredients is like being physically well, right? Not just, you know, coming out of cold, although your house seems like it's always cold and flu season, right?
Yeah. When
you got kids, but, you know, when
sleep, fitness, wellness, diet, all that stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. And then emotional, you know, are you in a season where you're emotionally, you know, stable, if you will? You know, are you in a season that you're solid emotionally? You know, you and I've talked about our faith. So what's the season of your spiritual life? Financial's a big one, right? So Dakota was telling me about the expense of the problem that we were fixing today. Layers of expense, arguably thousands of dollars. And, you know, we're fortunate that we have thousands of dollars, like, you know, so it'd be harder. It's easier to be resilient when you've got cash to cover it, right? I've talked a lot about that. People don't like to hear this, but like, I'm much more generous when I have cash. And, you know, that you may not agree with that. I'm just telling you how I roll. And so if you hit me up to be generous when I've got a pile of cash. I'm the type of person that's going to be more generous when I got it. So financial, you know, and then so all those ingredients come into play.
Well, and I'm reading a book right now, Pastor Craig Groeschel. He's the one. Yeah. Have you heard
of
him?
Yeah, of course.
It's all about thinking ahead. And I mean, just as you're saying it in business, like being prepared and putting yourself in good situations, not waiting until the last second, not letting your to-do list pile up. You know, you made a note. I was reading your notes prior to this and you said something, let's see, our level of overwhelm at the time of whatever issues coming up. It's like, well, if you know, I try to get into work early and get all my stuff done. So that way, and my buyers, because they're going to start, I don't know if they're going to start at 8. I don't know if they're going to start at 10. Whenever they start, can I get as much of my work done as possible between 6:30, 6:45 and 8 when all the guys and gals show up? Like preparing, thinking ahead is all about just preparing yourself for when that stuff happens. I want to have all my ish done, you know, by 10, 11, 12. That way my afternoon is free so I can be available to our team. Because what you said, our overwhelm plays into how we handle situations. And complimenting you and also critiquing you at the same time. Like when you take hits well and you don't flinch, which is absolutely true. The only time I can see it, and I remember this as a kid, sorry, full disclosure. The only time I could see when you would physically or, you know, get irate was when you could tie that stress to something that was going on at work, or, you know, if you were overwhelmed in that moment with a handful, a litany of other things, which if you're a parent, you know that those times happen. How I handle Wells when, you know, when I don't have a lot of stuff on my plate, when I don't have financial bearings on my life, how I handle Wells in those moments is 10 times better than how I handle when I'm exhausted, when I'm, you know, X, Y, and Z. So thinking ahead is all about preemptively preparing for those moments too.
Yeah. If you knew it was coming, right? So it's like one of the aspects of this is if you're in overwhelm. And so I was talking to Alex actually about this earlier. He said, how's everything going? I said, you know, it's interesting is that like Alluring Glass, not because of me, but I'm just in a season where Alluring Glass is up and to the right. I'm in a season where CAP, the Conduit Apprenticeship Program, is up and to the right. I'm in a season where Conduit, right, the platform that we have for personal and professional growth and development, is up and to the right. And so people are like, it beats the alternative. It's like, man, I don't know what that really means, but I can tell you that when the three initiatives that you're leading are growing rapidly, I'm in overwhelm.
Yeah.
And so when I'm in overwhelm, like I don't want to make decisions quickly, right? So what I know about myself is like and I can't get away from the overwhelm, right? So it's just, I'm in a season. Like I can't speed it up. So yeah. It's not whack-a-mole where you can just be like, all right, I'm just going to go do these 27 things and get it over with. That's not the way it works. And so, I have to put some boundaries around me, right? So I've got a sauna, I got my cold plunge working again, which I'll hit later today. And I swam for 2 hours this morning, right? Which is a part of my physical rhythm, but it's also my mental rhythm. When I'm in the pool for 2 hours, nobody's talking to me. And so I'm getting physical fitness and I'm getting mind fitness, right? I'm decompressing, you know, sit in front of fire. I went and bought a cigar. So I'm going to smoke a cigar this weekend. That's really important. The other thing that you hit on earlier, and I think this is, if you said to me, Jerry, what's the one thing that you have to do to be resilient? Like the one, you know, of all these things that we're talking about, what's the one thing? And I would say you have got to build a network of trusted advisors. You've got to have, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for this, but you got to have three or four people in your life that are seasoned, that are solid, rock solid, right? Guys, you know, anyway, we can get into the characteristics of that, but three to four people that will take your call, that will respond to your text message, where you can reach out to them and bounce ideas off them and say, hey, when you're trying to be resilient and bounce back from situations, making decisions is risky, right? Because you're not clear mind, clear heart, right? And so getting with trusted advisors to say, hey, give me some feedback on this.
Yeah.
You know, help me. I'm going to make the decision, but I want to process this with you.
Yeah. It's really good, man. Yeah. And you've always been huge on telling me like, hey, you got to get the strong dudes around you. You got to get a mentor. You're going to, you know, you've always been preaching that into me in my life. And I know you're preaching that into your team as well. And so fortunately, I've been blessed here recently with Kevin, who is our EOS coach and, you know, just a rock solid guy that I've been able to, hey, this is something I'm thinking about. I'm struggling with. What are your thoughts? And just kind of get some affirmations and or some challenges from him and has been great. You know, obviously Haley, my wife, has been fantastic. And then, you know, building a network of dudes that are my age that are kind of in a similar season has been huge for me here recently. Just allowing like, hey, we're in the fight together. And, you know, what's your perspective? What's your encouragement? And, you know, when times are tough, hey, I need something, you know, I need someone to talk to about this stuff. And getting that kind of wisdom and that kind of advice. And, you know, we're all ahead of other people and behind other people in certain areas of life. So just kind of gaining perspective is huge on those kinds of things. So that's really good. Well, and the last thing I was going to say is it's easy for us to compare it to lifting. You know what I mean? There's no growth without pain. So if you kind of like work your way backwards, right? If you, you know, what's your goal with lifting weights or what's your goal with running? You know, your goal is to finish a marathon or your goal is to have chiseled abs, whatever it is. If you, you know, work backwards on that, like, okay, I want to get there. Well, it's going to take some pain and then it's going to take this activity, right? And we know this well because you've done it 20 Ironman / marathons or whatever. But so work your way back towards the activity and just accepting that there's going to be pain for the result. And then what I'm hearing a ton about now, but you've preached to me since I was a kid, is it's all about becoming. It's not about being. So it's all about the process of becoming. That should be the goal that you sign up for and that you accept.
100%.
Resiliency is a whole lot easier of a word when you focus on becoming than it is if you're focused on the outcome. Because if you're focused on the outcome, resiliency in the moment feels like 5 steps backwards.
Yeah.
Going back to the beginning of this conversation. When I, in previous Tucker, let's just say, has a hard conversation like that where a client is upset, I get emotional. I have a hard time processing that because my goal is for our company to be known as, you know, awesome customer service, awesome, you know, providers of this, awesome relationship people, et cetera. Tucker now is focused on the process of becoming and understanding that resiliency is going to take pain, is going to take situations like that for me to become the leader that I need to be to lead our organization forward. And I'll finish with this. It's a quote. I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm not going to get it right completely, but I lost my train.
Sure. Want me?
Yeah, you jump in and then I'll try to recalibrate.
Well, one of the things I wanted to say to your listeners that is also apropos for you and I, Tucker, is that, you know, we talk about business, you know, one of the many reasons you want trusted advisors is that people that have navigated the minefield, right? Mm-hmm. So business, like you have to be resilient because you don't know where the mines are, right? You, even though you get trusted advisors and you're like, hey, Kevin, you're ahead of me. Tell me where the mines are. He can tell you where the mines are that he discovered, right? That he stepped on possibly, but he can't tell you where the mines are that he didn't step on.
Yeah.
And whoever is planting mines, they seem to be planted faster than we can identify them, right? And so the minefield is fluid. And going back to your being in process is so important because that minefield is moving, it's fluid, and you've got to navigate it forever. Like if you think you're going to get through the minefield, one of the reasons that I tell guys that my encouragement is to seek wise counsel from people that are still in the fight, right? That are still in the battle, because the playing field or the battlefield, as we're using that example, is constantly changing. So I want to talk to guys that are still in the battle, right?
Yeah.
So I seek guys that are still in the game because I want intel from the battlefield. And if they're off, if they've checked out, right, that Kevin retired for a hot second and then, sorry.
Yeah.
Then he's not retired anymore. He unretired. And so, but if he was retired, it's like, hey, you can be my buddy and I want to hang out with you, but I'm not going to be seeking insight from you, especially as it relates to resiliency on current battlefield conditions, right? Market conditions. So, and we talked about the last thing I'll say on this topic, Tuck, is that for now, is that you've spoken a lot about that muscle of willpower. And I've read it enough and heard it enough from Andrew Huberman, that interior mid cingulate cortex. It took me 6-7 months to be able to say that. But what they've learned about that muscle is that it's on both sides of your brain and it grows when you do things that you don't want to do. And resiliency is tied to willpower.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really the paradox of the strength is that, as it relates to resiliency today, is that the very act of being resilient is building the muscle you need to overcome resiliency or to be resilient, right? Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, and I just remembered the quote and I jotted it down real quick that I was going to say, which kind of ties that up in a bow perfectly, which is like, the leader that got you here to where you are is not the leader that you need to be to take, you know, your company to the next phase of life. You know, the father that, you know, I've become for Welsh and for Maeve is not the father that they need when they're teenagers. So that, you know, tying it back to what I said previously, that, you know, that whole becoming, and to your point, the willpower thing, like two parts that Huberman says. One, that, you know, the willpower part of your brain can be developed. And two, the willpower part of your brain will die if not worked on. So if you're not engaging, so.
It's atrophy. Atrophy. Yeah. Say that word.
Atrophy.
You want to see it? Your viewers, your listeners, your listeners can't see my biceps.
Take your shirt off, right?
Or lack thereof, right? So what we know is if I've never had biceps, but I've never had consistent, strong biceps. But if I did and I stopped working on my biceps, that muscle mass deteriorates. Yeah. And that's, to your point, that's really wise, is that muscle, that willpower muscle in professional athletes while they're performing, while they're a professional athlete, is massive. But when they retire, if they disengage in hard stuff, that muscle dies.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad that we're ending this podcast because I'm starting to get fired up. But yeah, that's good stuff. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me about it, and we'll catch you on the next one. Just wanted to say thank you guys for listening in. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, got something from it, something tangible that you can take with you and apply right away. We're looking forward to catching you on the next one.